Talk about the progress of your team the last few seasons. There seems to be a progression going that you have to be proud of.
Yeah, it's a it's a program that that Coach Stoops has really taken up to the stratosphere. If you look at it from a standpoint that I'm in, for me being a Kentucky kid and growing up, being around Kentucky football my whole life, and growing up, you can say that it was inconsistent, with. If we go to some bowl games here and then we'd fall off to, maybe 3 or 4 wins, and then we get back to a bowl game 1 year and then back to 5 or 6 wins. And Coach Stoops, he had a pretty rough go, his first couple years here, 2-9, I think, was his first year, and then 5-7 or something like that the next couple years. But my freshman year when we got here, the first building block was laid down, when we made our first bowl games, was 2011. And then after that, the next block, was going back to a bowl game, back-to-back consecutive bowl games. And I think that's one thing, that BBM was looking for, more importantly, was just consistency from our football team. And then last year, obviously, was the stepping stone, which was making that New Year's Eve game and beating a powerhouse like Penn State, on national television, like the way we did. And, a lot of people, now say that, you lost Josh, you lost Benny, you lost your whole secondary, basically. So they pick us to lose so many games. They give us 1% chances to win the East. They say all this stuff and that. But what they don't realize is that, yeah, you got a straight view of Josh and Benny and all the guys we had because of how dominant they were during the season. Because you didn't get to see the guys behind them because of how dominant Josh and Benny and those guys were. And you got to see a little bit of them. I mean, you got to see Kavassier Smoke and Chris Rodriguez against Louisville. Both of them had unbelievable touchdowns that showed unbelievable power and speed, that just like Benny has. And I got to go against them every day, in a scout team period. And, Kavassier is like a little bowling ball, man. He runs hard and he runs fast. And when he hits you, you're going to feel it. And Chris is the same way. I think from a body standpoint, if you look at him, Chris is kind of built like Saquon Barkley. I tell him that all the time. I was like, dude, you're like the way you built, walk around like this, looking like a big tree trunk. I mean, you look like Saquon out there. But, and just from an edge standpoint, people say, well, what about Josh? And they say, you can't replace Josh because Josh is Josh. You're not going to find too many 6'6", 261, defensive ends out there that look like Superman. So, how do you replace that? Well, when you talk about with having Coach White come in as our new defensive coordinator, he coached Josh, taught Josh the fundamentals, gave Josh the tools. And he brings a professional mindset of being with the Colts. And now that he's taken over our defense, he's kind of putting a twist on our, our schemes and our coverages, kind of like what he did with the Colts. And I've used this example a bunch today, but one of them being is that, one of his years being with the Indianapolis Colts, I can't remember which player it was. It might have been, if I was guessing, probably Dwight Freeney, because he's the only, defensive player that's just dominant there that I know. But I think he had like 17 or 18 sacks 1 year, led the AFC or whatnot. But the team total was only like 25, 26, 27. And then the next year that player wasn't playing or got traded or something. And Coach White at that time, their defensive coordinator, took what they were doing and said, okay, we kind of built this defense around such and such last year. Kind of like how our defense was kind of built around Josh. I mean, because if you look at all of our – because we're a 3-4 defense – and we have a fourth rusher. 9 times out of 10, the fourth rusher is going to be the Jack because it's Josh. I mean, why wouldn't you rush him? Look at him and look what he can do. So taking our basic defensive calls and being able to make adjustments to where it frees not only the Jack up, but it frees me up, it frees the Will up, it frees the Sam up, it frees the strong safety up, it frees the free safety up. We can bring corner blitzes. We can bring pressures from the boundary. All that different stuff. It's almost like how an offense can run the same play out of 3 different formations. We can run the same pressure out of 3 different, almost 3 different looking formations, or it could be the same blitz, but from a two or three different positions. Who's going to be our fourth rusher type deal? And so when you saw that, and they did that with the Colts after that guy, after whoever had the leading sacks left or whatever, the individual sacks numbers went down, but the team sack numbers skyrocketed to almost, I think 40 almost, he told me. So if we can take that and almost use it to our advantage to here at Kentucky like they did in Indianapolis, I think we're going to be just fine.
We have a question to your right against the wall.
Hey, Cash. Michael Brennan from Saturday Night South. I wanted to ask you about participating in the Super Bowl commercial. What was your experience there, and what do you think the message was that Kentucky not only put that out there but let you be featured in it?
That was pretty cool. I'm glad they let me start my acting career with that. So it was pretty fun. They came in, and they had cameras like your all's, but they had like this big, like, hold a grip on it. And I was like, man, how expensive is that camera? He said, well, do you know this camera right here made Avengers Endgame? I was like, ooh. That's a lot of money right there. So I knew it was a pretty serious production, and it was funny because have you guys had Logan in here yet? Stenberg, did you guys ask him about if he laughed at me during that? You didn't ask him about it? You guys missed out on a good question. But so it was like they brought us in our team, we call it relax room. We go in there, shoot pool or whatever. And they had the lights and tape marked off where everybody was. We're supposed to be standing. They gave me the script and told me how they wanted me to read it and everything. And I'd never done that before. Like, that was my first time, like, reading a script. Like, everything you see me, you know, yelling, screaming, acting a fool, you know, comes from my heart. So it's kind of hard. It was kind of hard for me at first to read something and be passionate about it because, you know, it didn't come from me. So I didn't know how to do it at first, to be quite honest with you. And that's how Logan and them, you know, started dying laughing at me after the third or fourth word. I started screaming. So we were there a long time, though. We were there for about 4 or 5 hours just because of how many takes we had to do. But it was, overall, it was fun. You know, the fans enjoyed it, and we got a lot of really good feedback from it. You know, we had that promotional video where I said for people to watch it and video it, you know, and tape their reaction and thing. We had a bunch of reactions, and it was really fun to see, you know, little kids and, you know, their parents, you know, making out CATS, 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 and, you know, watching the video and, you know, screaming and hollering in their living room. It was pretty fun.
Question here in the middle.
Got two questions. The first, who were some of the UK guys you looked up to growing up in Paintsville? And two, what does John Sumrall bring to this coaching staff and to the team?
As a kid growing up, when watching Kentucky, you know, one guy you thought of was Jacob Tammy, you know, a Kentucky boy from Bourbon County, and how he, you know, conducted himself, you know, not only on the field but off the field as well, and how hard he played. You know, so Jacob was always a favorite of mine. Then obviously, probably either Randall Cobb or Andre Woodson, just because of, you know, how infamous those guys were at playmaking and what Randall's been able to do with the Packers and now the Cowboys. You know, it's just unreal what those guys have done. And with this, in the games that I was actually there to see them play, no matter, you know, what happens on there, I'll be able to forget that. And then Sumrall, yeah. Coach, he's my coach, man. If I had to have a coach that was kind of like me, it'd be him. He's the me version of a coach. So he's very fiery. You know, he's got a lot of energy, and you can tell he cares a lot and has got a lot of passion for this team and in this room. It means a lot to him, you know, because, you know, he's a Kentucky alum. You know, he came here. He always jokes. He jokes about it all the time. He said, boys, I played here, whatever. He goes, I made 75 trips my senior year. I'm not going to call them tackles. I'll call them trips because I didn't tackle them. And he always say that. It's just, he keeps the room lightened up, man. And, you know, and I think it helps young guys learn because, you know, if it's, you know, an easy setting to learn in, that kind of environment where, you know, the coach isn't always just going to just go off on you for the slightest mistake. You know, I think that, you know, that helps guys learn, and it helps bring guys together closer.
Right here in the middle.
You're obviously very confident in the team you're bringing back this year. So keeping in mind what you accomplished last year, what is the new expectation for Kentucky football?
Get to Atlanta. You know, we went 10-3 last year. We came up, you know, pretty short. We had the biggest game of, you know, Kentucky football history in Lexington. Got embarrassed, and that's it. So we have to come back this year with a stronger mindset and a stronger mentality of You know, 10-3 is not acceptable. Coming second or runner-up in the SEC East is not acceptable. And so that's been our whole goal throughout our winter conditioning program, throughout spring ball, and throughout our summer workouts heading into fall camp is, you know, take it up a notch. Like I was talking about, going back to that building block method. You know, like I said, first year bowl game, second year bowl game, third year beat Penn State. Who says this year the final step in my career and then my class's career, get to Atlanta? But not only get to Atlanta, but to win in Atlanta. Because if you're going to win, because if you get there, you might as well win it.
Right here in the front row.
You mentioned Logan earlier when he was in here somewhere. I was talking about you guys go head to head a lot, and you said your two are the toughest hitters on the team, and you trash talk a lot. What's your relationship like on the practice field and then off with him?
It's awesome. Just because me and Logan, we have this mindset of, you know, this is how football should be played, and we think football should be played with a, you know, an edge and a sense of violence about you. And the way that we hit each other in practice when he comes on a pull scheme, we compare it to like just two rams just hitting each other, and it's not moving. They just stand there, and that's exactly what it is. Like, none of us either budge this way or that way. It's just a head-on collision, like two rams butting each other. And but the good thing about going up against Logan in practice is that I don't have to look for a guy to bring out intensity in me. It's already there because I'm going to have to match his intensity and able to win that down. Because if you don't match his intensity or, you know, go above it, then you ain't got a shot.
Last question against the wall on the right.
Cash, hopefully after a lengthy NFL career, but have you given any thoughts to life after football? I think I've seen videos of you smashing dudes through tables and whatnot. Any professional wrestling or media personality in your future?
You know, man, I'd like to, like, go on, like, the Pat McAfee route. You know, just go play me some years in the NFL, go to Barstool. Why isn't Barstool here? That's one question. I don't see Big Cat or PFT or those guys here. It kind of makes me sad. We got to fix that. But, you know, after football, man, it's just I'd like to bass fish a lot, to be quite honest with you. I mean, professional wrestling's cool. Shout out to the club, my boys AJ Styles, Carl Anderson, and Luke Gallows. But, you know, bass fishing and professional wrestling is just something that, you know, I like to do or like to watch or do, you know, when I'm not in football. So just be able to do that and have fun with it. But yeah, if the WWE came knocking and if I had nothing going on, then it'd be kind of hard to tell Vince McMahon no.